This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, feels great, motherfucker. Yeah, that's what the song is. Cheat Codes, Feels Great. Featuring Fetty Wap, which has got to be one of the worst names I've ever heard in my life.
You get worse.
Sounds like
Fetty
one of those.
Wap.
Fetty Wap.
Sounds like one of those original like cell phones that gave the internet.
That's going to be a spoonerism for Wetty Fap.
Yeah.
We all know what that is.
Well, why don't you tell us Gord?
It's a masturbation word. It's a hip colloquialism for having a wank, Gareth.
It is?
Thanks for that.
Having a wetty fap.
And I got this very bizarre message from Chris, who says, "Hey, Gareth, are there any issues with the WhatsApp system? My messages never get a second tick. Am I blocked?"
See, he's not the first person to have that issue, okay? We cannot physically block people even if we wanted to.
Yeah, no, trust me, if I'm not reading it, it's because either there are too many messages and I haven't had a chance to. Plus, I used to listen to radio shows when there were still radio shows and people would SMS in. And the entire show was the host reading messages. It was so boring. I'm like, I can go on social media and see that for myself on Twitter. I don't need some host to sit there and read it to me. So I sometimes don't read them because we're busy with the show. Sometimes I get a chance to read one or two. And occasionally, I ignore them because they're boring.
But is the fact that he only has one tick a technical issue, or is that you saying it's probably here, but I just didn't read it?
No, it's more the issue because our screen's on. It's not like we cannot open the message.
No, it's always here.
They come through whether we like it or not.
Exactly. So we can't ignore you completely. I mean, don't panic, Chris. Chris is very needy this morning. And then...
Poor Chris was just like, I'm just wondering now. Needy Chris is needy.
Why did they block me?
Yeah.
What did I do? What did I
no
say?
No one's Chris. No one's
and
blocked.
Yet, but you got it now.
I bet it was Gord's.
So how did he get through to you if he's blocked on WhatsApp? Did he tweet you or something? Tweet you?
Yeah, he supposedly sent a message, but he sent this email this morning at 5. All right. The state already owns all the land, therefore land taxes. What is the use of giving anybody land if they can't afford to pay the taxes on it? It's like me giving you a car, but you don't have money for petrol. That's another good point. I'm more worried about wealthy people who do own land, selling that land and leaving the country because they feel that what they own will be taken away from them. Well, that's always what happens. And then someone says, how much land does the Queen own? Well, that's interesting because when we talk about feudalism, and I talk about King Goodwill Zwelithini, I mean, the largest landowner in the world by far, there's a book called Who Owns the World? Which I read, I don't know, 6 years ago, and it fundamentally changed the way I understand property rights. Because the Queen of England actually owns the whole of Canada, the whole of New Zealand, the whole of Australia, the whole of Great Britain, and all the various territories that she's queen of. She owns them completely.
But when these companies, when these countries get independence, whether it's through war or whatever political means, and they gain their sovereignty, isn't this like the same as telling the monarch, the colonial monarch that came and took the land, or her ancestors came and took the land, like, fuck off.
Yeah, but
it's not yours anymore.
These countries aren't independent. Australia is still, she's the head of state of Australia. She's also the head of state of Canada.
Yeah, because
they're not independent countries. No. She's got a governor general who lives in Canada, who she appoints to keep an eye on things. That's her land.
That must be a sweet job.
I mean, I got to tell you that this is the most shocking thing you could possibly learn, because you read those rich lists,
yeah,
and you see you've got people like Warren Buffett, and you've got
Bill Gates.
You got all these people who have lots and lots of money, like billions of dollars, right? Sometimes even hundreds of billions. I think some of them are in the hundreds of billions. But the Queen, her wealth isn't in those palaces and jewels and carriages and all that stuff. She owns all of it.
But surely if someone
like
Canada
trillions
or Australia...
and trillions of, if, okay, here's the deal. If they decide to remove the property from her possession. If they decide they're going to declare themselves as independent countries, and I suppose their parliaments could do that, they then have to compensate her fairly.
Have to, according to whose law? Because it's their own country.
According to their own country's law.
Interesting how the word fairly is used, because I bet she acquired everything fairly.
Oh, she did, by conquest.
But
this is my point, right?
So if Australia decides, screw this land is ours, we don't care about the Queen, and it's not her land anymore, would the British sail in with like military forces and be like, oh, really, guys?
No, but according to the law, and I'm saying this, there's no practical solution to this, which is why it's in limbo. Because if they decided to take away all her property, the land in Australia that is hers, which is the whole of Australia, they have to compensate her according to their own laws. So, in other words, they're in this stalemate where she's not going to ask for the value of the land. She's not going to charge them rent. And in return, they're not going to kick her out and take her property away. Mm. So she sort of has this arm's length control. And it's something nobody ever talks about. That takes 1,000 years to establish that kind, that level of
wealth.
It takes 1,000 years.
But now when she dies, does Charles then
Charles
become...
Charles gets it all.
Charles gets Australia.
Yeah.
And Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Cool and, places to have.
And Aruba.
No, she is the great single greatest landowner in the world by miles.
Aren't McDonald's like some of the world's biggest landlords? Not but like even, not in terms of whole territories, yeah, in no, terms
not
of
not even close though. I mean they come in like 40th or 50th, because it's mostly countries that own the most land. And you know, here in South Africa, that's also true for our government. They own the most land. Someone says, what does Julius mean when he calls Monsieur Le Court a historical mistake? Is he saying Terra's historical interpretation on the land issue is inaccurate? Vusi? I read such a great article by Max Dupree about Monsieur Le Court and his own political history. And for someone like Julius Malema, who is he has struggle envy, to even talk about someone like Monsieur Le Court with anything but reverence shows that he does not care about the history of people who struggled against apartheid. He cares about himself. Hi team, love to hear Gord this morning again. By the way, is there a way to allow the messages to be viewed by all who are in a Cliff Central WhatsApp group? I would love to see all the other listeners and what their comments are. Well, I suppose that's what social media is for. I'm not going to create another network. Andile says, morning guys, why do highly educated political intellectuals always use identity politics? Well, because they're trying to be popular. And what happens on college campuses is that a lot of the lecturers are frightened of their students. So they, instead of having a riot in the classroom, they talk socialism. And that's why we've got a whole bunch of millennials in America who actually think communism is a better alternative than, you know, democracy.
Yeah.
It's because people are afraid of being unpopular.
Yeah, a lot of Joe Rogan content around that going around lately, and you know, gender pronouns and this whole idea of ensuring everyone's rights by taking anyone's rights to do things differently away. It's so contradictory and it's so dangerous.
If you don't want someone else, if you want to take away someone else's rights, don't be surprised when someone comes knocking on your door to take yours away
and
as
the,
well.
The one really interesting point that Jordan Peterson raised in one of his interviews there was the fact that if you look at radical movements throughout history, Germany, for example, when you radicalize anything, the reaction from the opposing position is to radicalize further. So as soon as you have the left making it's illegal to refer to people by the wrong gender pronoun, certain words are illegal in the press, then the people who are using those words just casually and getting on with their life, they start to radicalize and say, no, we will now. And then everything becomes so bipartisan and everything becomes so conflicted. Mm. So then you have a radical movement come and overthrow something for being too radical, and then a radical opposition rises.
Well, this happened to Rose McGowan. Did you hear what happened to her the other day?
Mm-mm.
Now, Rose McGowan obviously is the woman who bravely started the whole Harvey Weinstein thing, and she made a public appearance. I'm just going to try and find this clip because you've actually got to hear her. She loses her shit because someone in the audience says, oh, but you don't care about trans rights. Now, she's not there to talk about trans rights. She had a meltdown. She was at Barnes & Noble. And this trans heckler yelled that she doesn't care about trans people, which is unrelated to what she was there for. And Rose McGowan this shows you how this ideological identity politics will eat itself.
Yeah.
Listen, she's now refused to make any public appearances ever again. Listen to this.
I'm suggesting, talking about what you said on RuPaul, trans women are dying. And you said that we, as trans women, are not like regular women. We get raped more often. We go to domestic violence more often.
See, when you're going to play the victim card, there's always going to be someone who's more victimized than you. And that person is going to claim, well, if victimhood is what we're in the Olympics for, I win. So this is a trans person saying trans people get raped more than Rose McGowan, and other people who've been sexually offended and abused and aggrieved in Hollywood. So Rose McGowan
needs to be more acknowledged.
Right. So Rose McGowan's trading on the fact that she's a victim, and now this person comes along, this trans person, and they say, my victimhood is greater than yours, and why don't you say something about me?
Yeah.
Because it's
all... Don't forget about me.
It's me, me, me. So listen to what happens.
Transman was killed here a few blocks. I have been followed home.
So have I. We're the same. My point was we are the same.
See, victim, victim. Let's see who's the biggest victim. This is where it goes. Now listen to what happens.
So have I. We're the same. My point was we are the same. There's an entire show called ID Channel, a network dedicated 24 hours a day to women getting abused, murdered, sexualized, and violated. And you are...
That must be such
sounds
a
like a joke.
Great channel to watch.
That used to be the Hallmark channel.
And trans women go to
domestic violence, and you do nothing for them. Trans women are in men's prisons. And what have you done for them?
What have you done for women?
See, now it becomes a what have you done for them? What have you done for them? This is where the left goes. This is where it ultimately ends up. The Victim Olympics, that pyramid collapses.
They're literally fighting each other for the right to be
the most victimized.
Or to be more outraged. Right.
Correct. These are the people who you meet on social media. Here's Rose McGowan. Listen to what happens.
I've done lots of things too. You don't know my life. Sit down.
Isn't that oppression?
Enough.
Don't
get
lost. I am a woman and trans.
Congratulations. So am I.
See, if the most interesting thing about you is that you're a woman or that you're victimized, then this is where it goes.
All over again, and this is white cis feminism.
Shut up! You're so boring. Don't label me, sister. Don't put your labels on me. Don't you fucking do that.
And meanwhile, Rose McGowan's labeling every man in the world as some kind of sexual offender, but she doesn't see any irony.
Fucking do that.
Don't worry about her.
Do not put your label on me. I don't come from your planet. Leave me alone.
Wow.
I do not subscribe to your rules.
Ooh, isn't that exactly
there's
what
a person that's trying to inflict rules on other people.
I mean, this is the point, right? There's no sense of irony here. Wait. Let's just finish it and then we can get into it.
I do not subscribe to your rules. I do not subscribe to your language. You do not put labels on me or anybody. Step the fuck back. What I do is for the fucking world, and you should be fucking grateful. So shut the fuck up.
What I do for the world, and you should be fucking grateful. This shows you what's really going on. This has got less to do with Harvey Weinstein or male cisgender abuse of women and a whole lot more to do with Rose trying to be at the top of the victim pyramid. And she just said it to you. She just told you how much she's doing for these women, how much virtue
she's accumulating.
And how
grateful she expects you to be.
And she wants you to be fucking grateful. Don't ever forget those words, all right?
Fucking grateful. So shut the fuck up. Get off my back. What have you done? Because I know what I've done.
Who are these guys shouting
"We
love you"?
I'm not worried. I'm fucking mad at the lies. I'm mad at the stereotypes. I'm mad that you put shit on me because I have a fucking vagina and I'm white or I'm black or I'm yellow.
No, you're not. No, hold on, calm down. You're a lunatic. That's what you are, honey. You're a mentally ill person who needs to go and seek therapy. It's got nothing to do with your vagina or your white skin. No, but those people who are clapping.
We're there to clap.
These are what we call cucks. These are people who would make you tea while you fuck their wife. These are not people to be taken seriously, all right?
Fucking vagina, and I'm white, or I'm black, or I'm yellow, or I'm purple. Fuck off! All of us want to say it. I just do. God damn.
It's
crying,
that go.
No, it's not.
Women do know. That's why they kept quiet for so long, because it takes so much fucking energy. And for you, stand up.
Trans women are women. What I'm trying and...
Okay, now she talks herself into circles because now everybody's calmed down a little bit and she's now feeling guilty because she's realized she's revealed everything about her whole agenda, which is about her, and it's got nothing to do with women's rights or Harvey Weinstein or anything else. Rose McGowan has pretty much blown the whole case here. So now she's sitting on the chair and she's trying to figure out a way out of this quagmire she's got herself into. So she talks nonsense and she's suddenly like, oh, well, trans women are women and of course we care about their rights. But it's too late. We've heard what she really thinks.
Yeah, not from your planet.
And so, exactly. She thinks that trans people are from another planet, and she's revealed her own prejudices. And as long as she's not the one being judged, she's happy to do all the judging.
But it's interesting to see that they, you know, the angry left are so much like permission givers. I will give you permission what you may and may not say. And now there's an example of them outraged, trying to out-outrage one another, mm-hmm. and also now trying to give each other permission. So it becomes fractured. It like,
well, it's an interesting,
not a unified what you're.
But you point out the word permission, which is interesting because that's exactly the thing. They want someone to tell them it's okay. Their basic condition is that they require permission for things. Whereas a really free
person... They believe you do as well.
Exactly. And a truly free person doesn't care about permission because they have their own agency. Someone like this wants to either give or receive permission. They prefer to give permission. In other words, it's about power. And everything is a class and a power struggle, which is Marxism. Or it's about pure freedom on the side of people who are not like this, who go, well, I don't need your permission to exercise my agency. But I just want to see how this ties, because she's decided after this she's never going to make a public appearance again.
Because someone disagreed with her.
No, because she's been shamed. Mm. I mean, her whole position has been shamed here. Her credibility is in tatters on the floor in front of her. And it's got nothing to do with what actually happened to her. I want to be clear about this. She might have been abused by Harvey Weinstein. She might have had horrible things happen to her in her life. All of that is fine, but her thinking is completely without merit. Her thinking has been exposed as a skeletal emptiness, which cannot possibly have any merit in a conversation between two thinking people. Her feelings may still be valid, and you can hear there are a lot of feelings there, and they probably need to be managed, is what a psychologist would say. But her thoughts are rubbish and puerile. Her feelings, valid as they may be, seem to be out of control.
Trans women are women. What I've tried and been trying to say is that it's actually identical. The stats are not that dissimilar. You break it down, it is a much fucking smaller population. There's not a network, however, devoted to your fucking death. There's not advertisers advertising tampons as a camera goes lovingly up a girl's body as she's being fucking raped and strangled.
Jesus, I mean, what kind of a life did this poor woman have? You know, you're dealing with a really, really sore person here.
Yeah, and looking for more things to be hurt by.
No, but she may have every reason to be hugely angry.
Sure, but now she's seeking it in the world, looking for it in places where it may not necessarily be.
If this is the person who started Me Too and Time's Up, anyone else who's heard this outburst should be questioning whether they want to be in that movement or not. You can't have your cake and eat it. I can't take you seriously if you believe the same things that Rose McGowan does, because she doesn't even know what she believes. She's just changed her position about four times.
Piss off.
And she's
angry. Until you can collect that fucking check, back up. My name is Rose McGowan, and I'm obviously fucking brave. God.
I mean, for you to have to say that, honey.
Yeah.
I don't think you are.
And it's just not civil. That's another thing that, like, I've long said, and I've said it on the show before, is that there's nothing more unpleasant, or there's no greater dickhead than an asshole, horrible person who's right about something. Take anything that a person is legitimately, genuinely right about, a real problem, and you are trying to oppose it because of right, and you're also an asshole. That combination of being a horrible person or just being a mean dickhead and having a good cause creates this like horrible, this like weaponized assholeness. If you can make that point without being so mean.
Yeah.
You can make that point without all the swear words and the accusations. You can literally, whatever her point was, because I agree with you, it changed about two or three times. Whatever your, first she was for the transgender people, then she was not one of you, and then we're all equal, and now you don't have a network dedicated to you. So I lost track a little bit. But whatever her point was, she could have made it politely. She could have got up intellectually and without losing her temper said, listen, no, I don't agree with you, and here's why. And when the other woman lost her shit, went, look, just be quiet, just give me a moment to talk, and then explained it. But she was an asshole, and because people are assholes, you get good ones and bad ones.
I also don't know whether, and this is maybe a problem we all have, and I don't know how many of us are able to gain control of our emotions to the point where we can be civil to each other in almost any situation, because you're allowed to disagree and in an amiable way.
Sure, right? You can have your point, just don't be an asshole about
and,
it.
And for me, the best outcome of any argument is that someone acknowledges they've learned something new and maybe wants to change their position. An even better possible outcome is that both sides learn a little bit about the other side's point of view and both are willing to reevaluate their positions. The worst possible outcome is that people start shouting at each other.
Because you're never going to be receptive to the other person's ideas, which are already, to begin with, different than yours, if that's how they present them to you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think there is a revelation in that clip with Rose McGowan that people have been trying to explain in terms of rational, sensible thought for the longest time. She does all the work for us there. She reveals how weak and shallow most of those arguments from people who think like her are. There's very little left on the floor after she's walked off that stage. And it's no wonder she won't make a public appearance again. She's humiliated.
Yeah, and I mean, again, as you've pointed out, you know, it's not about whether or not bad things have happened to her. It's not about whether or not she was good or right to come out and speak out the way that she has. That's not the point. The point is you can't be a raving lunatic and you can't be so aggressive. And you can't, in this case, obviously being unique in the sense that she's also outed herself as being very self-aggrandizing and out for herself. But you can't, I mean, if Nelson Mandela had have come out and just was a disagreeable, ranting asshole whenever he had a point to make, whether it was saying, you know, advocating violence to a degree or completely advocating peace or any point, if you want to get people on your side, even if your point, and I'm now separating what I'm saying from Nelson Mandela, but even if your point is like wrong and you want to mobilize people to do something shitty, you got to be nice to them about it. Like, you just have to have some place where people don't think you're a complete asshole. And that's what I stay away from these social media conversations and these group chats and these forums. But that's what I notice about the left. They dicks to everybody and they dicks to each other when they don't agree with each other.
That's what you just heard.
Mercy substanceless people all the time. No, so everything offends you, therefore you're always angry.
I got to blame one thing for this. It's got nothing to do with Harvey or Rose or politics, or the place of women in society and the place of men in society, or the patriarchy, which she seems to think is a real thing. What it has to do with is that Rose McGowan and Harvey Weinstein were both raised badly by their parents. And now we all have to get our hands dirty.
That is a good point.
Now we all have to get our hands dirty dealing with their psychological detritus. And this is the problem.
And the causes that they discuss or the causes that their behavior sort of highlights are not being done any good.
No. You're not, in fact, but both
because
sides.
Because women abuse and the Harvey Weinstein shit that he got away with, that's a real problem.
Of course
that's
it is.
Some horrible shit that needs to be sorted out. By making people hate you and then also appointing yourself the grand high poobah spokesperson of these causes, you only alienating a massive audience that actually need to understand
and that want to help you
and need to learn something, just not in that way.
I'm so glad that clip came out because now it shows you what you're really dealing with.
I would have liked to have seen her face though.
The mask is removed. Well, she's just red in the face and screaming and ranting. It's not pretty. And Rose McGowan is a pretty woman. I mean, am I allowed to say that?
I don't
think
you're allowed to have that opinion.
No, Gareth, it's just crass.
I'm objectifying her.
Yes.
Right. No.
All right, it's 26 after 7. We actually have a whole lot of other news stuff to get to, so we'll do that. That's coming up next. And don't forget, because today is a Wednesday, we've got a little repeat interview later on, and we've got to find out what's going on with iConnect. We'll talk to them at 7:30 or so. And then later on this week, Kagiso Lediga, who I spent some time with, who's great. Toby Shapshak's popping in on Friday. And he's got a surprise for us. And we're also going to have Liz Ogumbo-Regisford, who hosts the Fashion Lab here on Cliff Central and who is probably our most statuesque ambassador. She's going to pop by to tell us about her music career. She's got a thriving music career. She's put out another album, and she's going to talk to us about her songs and a whole lot of things you might or might not know about Liz already. So she'll be popping by. That's on Friday. Busy week. What else can I tell you? Oh, there is other stuff that I need to throw forward to. I mentioned my discussion with Jeremy Thompson from Sky News, and we had an hour and 15 minutes or so that we spoke to each other yesterday. We'll be playing that out in the next 4 or 5 days, so stick around for that. Loads of stuff to get into. Oh, there's the other thing I need to tell you about. We're talking to OnePlan and OnePlan Insurance, so you know how that works. And we're going to have Michael Otten from One Plan come in to talk to us about people insurance. We've already spoken about pet insurance. Mm-hmm. So people insurance is a little different.
Yeah.
The medicine may be the same some of the time because we're all mammals. But you need to know how to look after yourself just like you want to look after your pets. And a lot of people in tough times, the thing that they let go of, and this is very dangerous, is their health insurance.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you've got to know that you could be getting into a lot of trouble.
And your family, man. They're the ones that will be under pressure to bleed themselves dry to look after you if you don't have something in place.
I mean, you hear about these people. They go to the doctor, and then someone says to them, the doctor says to them, we've got bad news.
Mm.
When you hear those words, you better have medical insurance because otherwise you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about reshuffling the cabinet. You need to reshuffle your life to make sure your priorities are taken care of.
First on my priority list in terms of those things that are going to come off as a debit, because I just know the pressure it'll put my family under. If you're not insured and something bad happens, these things can run into hundreds of thousands of rands, even millions.
Yeah.
And my family, to the detriment of being able to look after their own kids and their own standard of living, will keep me alive.
Yeah, they will.
They're not going to go, "Ugh, you know what? It's getting into hundreds of grands now.
Sorry, Gord, it's too expensive."
Yeah, we're gonna.
We liked you, Gord, but that was the time we had.
So, and obviously, not everybody's in that sort of a situation with their family, and I won't go on much longer. But not everybody's in that sort of a family situation. But if you are, you have to ensure your family are not financially burdened if anything happens to you.
And if you have kids, and if you have an important job to do, you know, there's lots of reasons to do this. So, with everything going up, One Plan's motto is to put healthcare back into the hands of the people. One Plan offers health insurance that's more affordable for South Africans. You get to choose what you need and when you need it. With so many changes happening, you can make sure your health isn't compromised. For effective health insurance, as little as 330 Rand per month, SMS health to 31644. You heard what Gord said, health to 31644, and they will call you back. So you don't have to spend any of your own money getting the information that you need. SMS health to 31644, and when they call you back, you can ask all the questions to figure out what coverage is the best for you at the best price. All right, coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about being connected to the internet, what that means and how much it costs you and where you can get a better deal. And we'll handle some news stories, chat to Gord, chat to Ben, chat to you.
Do wop a do wop shoo, be do be do wop a do wop a do wop shoo, be do be do wop.
And I actually can't wait for Sia to get back. Sia, our executive producer, is in Bali. Ben reckons that he's having a tougher time than we think in Asia.
Yeah, there's going to be... obviously, Sia will he'll gloss over the tougher times and bring us the fabulous times. But imagining Sia in Asia is quite something.
Yeah, I think Sia's probably a whole lot of fun there, but
I just think he's going to come back skinnier than ever because he doesn't know what to eat.
Yeah, but that's obviously the hard part, because in Asia, you don't really get a lot of insight into what it is that you're eating. And in Sia's case, he needs to know exactly what flour it was basted with, where the oil comes from, whether or not there are any animal hooves in it. He's very particular, so he's going to have a tough time finding what he needs to eat. Thinner and probably a little more experienced in the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. I remember he wanted to go to Asia 2 years ago and never got around to it. So maybe this time he can go and bring back some stories. Okay, first of all, thanks for interviewing Jack Parra on your show. It was really lekker. I've been to three of his shows in London. He has chilled and had a great cater with his fans afterwards. Duncan from London. Currently in Riga for a week of work. Riga in Latvia. Temperature there? -19.
Ah, yes.
Did you see it snowed in Rome?
Hmm.
It was snowing in Rome this week. That's how cold it is in Europe. I think he hit the nail on the head. She's upset about what happened, but more importantly, she's an absolute asshole, poor human being. And guys, the 2015 season of South Park hits on all these things. Well, South Park's brilliant for this. I love South Park.
Utterly sure. brilliant.
All right. Let's just quickly take a look at whether or not there's any other news that we need to pay attention to this morning. Anything going on your side, Ben?
Well, Gareth, there's a big story, of course, that's come out that the Spice Girls will be getting back together and they will be performing at the Royal Wedding.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, that's a touch of royal class. Eh?
The Spice Girls are going to be performing at Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding.
I have never been less excited about a comeback in my life.
Yeah.
I
really, really want a prince, even if he's ginger. I think that's how the song that really ends.
Yeah.
Even if he's ginger. Even if he's bald.
Yeah. I can just imagine.
You want to get with him, you got to cut his balls.
But can you imagine?
Going in one direction there.
Can you imagine Kate Middleton and her gypsy family when they start performing? They are going to lose their shit when this happens.
My favorite is Mel B.
Oh, she's my favorite of the alphabet Mels.
And at this moment is where the Queen is going to have 7 gins too many and probably not wake up. She'll think that's it. This family's gone to crap.
Yeah.
The Spice Girls. Are they really getting back together? Okay, so let's think about it.
There's all these rumors that, you know, when you
were... They were crap at singing when they had regular coaching and played shows all the time.
All right. I saw them when they came to Joburg because they were part of a whole thing. I actually came to see Billy Ocean. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Billy Ocean was cool, but the Spice
what
Girls...
What was his big song, Billy Ocean?
Caribbean Queen, now we're sharing the same dream.
Yes.
And our hearts will beat as one.
Yes.
No Billy more Ocean. Love on the run.
So you went to go see Billy and you got the Spice Girls.
Oh, he had a great song. Actually, now we've been distracted. This is beautiful. I've got to find it for you. And it's not the one that I just sang now, because that's a very obvious pop song. But this is a beautiful song. And
now you're floating on the Billy Ocean and it's my fault I sent you adrift.
This is such a great song. It's called Suddenly. I think this is why I went to see him. Spice Girls were there. Tangentially.
In Joburg.
I used to think that love was just a fairy tale. Until that first hello. Until that first smile. But if I had to do it all again, I wouldn't change a thing, 'cause this love is everlasting. Suddenly, life has new meaning to me. There's beauty up above, and things we never take notice of.
Got to pull Gareth out of his Billy Ocean vortex. Come back to us, Gareth.
It's so 80s, obviously, but what a great song.
The big triggered drums.
Yeah, exactly. But I got to tell you something about Billy Ocean. He ends up looking much cooler now than he ever did in the 80s. He's got these long dreads now, and he can get up there. He can still perform. So when I saw him, what was that, 99, 2000, somewhere around
there? But were they playing a show? Were the Spice Girls here playing a show? Why with Billy Ocean?
Because he's British and they're British. It was some kind of British-South African thing.
Okay.
Anyway, I saw them there and they were pretty awful. So let's just look at it. Mel B has been on America's Got Talent.
She's so hot.
And she's had a very sketchy love life.
Mm.
She was with Eddie Murphy for a while.
Yeah, and had a kid, I think, by him.
Right, and then she's been with this other dude, and apparently they used to have threesomes with a maid and that kind of thing. So there's
score.
Well, there's
like, have a threesome if as long as the maid's consenting, knock yourself out.
Arnold Schwarzenegger would agree.
Yeah.
So that's
his wife, not so much.
Posh Spice married David Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
And she went on to...
Famously marry David Beckham.
Well, no, she designed cars. She does clothing. She's got her own line of businesses and
fragrances. And their kids seem to be quite well-adjusted, which for me is a measure of normality.
She seems to be a good mother too, as you point out. So those two are okay by
Spice Girl standards. Yeah.
Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell. I don't know what happened to her.
No, she disappeared.
Baby
and so
Spice?
Did Emma Bunton.
Emma Bunton. She also disappeared.
She had a baby. Baby had a baby.
Oh.
Jeez.
But the one who really must be down and out living in council flat, going down to pub at Wednesday.
Still in tracksuit.
is Mel C.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever happened to her? But she tried to take the sport thing. I mean, I stand to be corrected here hugely, but I have some vague, haunting memory, misty memory in the back of my brain of her trying to do something to do with actual sport because she was Sporty Spice.
Mm-hmm.
She had abs, and like, that's all I remember.
Yeah, she.
Well, I heard that Little Britain modeled Vicky Pollard on her, on LC. And that the first
actually, she's like a real slut and everything.
Giving her arrested down the back sheds.
And some for nothing. All right, let's move on. Nicole, why don't you come in here? Nicole Kapp is here, Mrs. South Africa. Do you know who Mrs. South Africa is? She's about to come and sit down next to you, Gord. So behave yourself.
I'm just gonna.
But it's a big day for Gord. He's learning a lot of new things today.
But she's not
she
here.
She looks pretty good, dude.
She looks
Melanie
fantastic.
C.
Mel C.
Sorry, I'm still on Mel C.
No,
Mrs. South Africa is far more beautiful.
Have a seat.
But Melanie,
there she is.
Melanie C. looks good.
Shut up, Gord. Yeah. Mrs. South Africa.
You're embarrassing
here.
All of us here now.
All right, Nicole Kapper is Mrs. South Africa. She's also an ambassador for Rare Diseases South Africa because she has a kid who has a rare disease, and Rare Diseases Day is today. So we thought we'd talk about this. In fact, I remember I spoke to the people from Rare Diseases South Africa not so long ago, and they were quite enlightening because I didn't know a huge amount about these diseases. And what it's 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 2,000 people must have a disease for it to be classified as rare. And that sounds like it could be a lot, and it probably is. But these diseases get none of the priority that most of the diseases everybody gets. So that's part of the problem, right?
That's it. I mean, I'm good. How are you?
Cool.
I'm good.
Cool. I met you the other day at...
At the CARS Awards.
That's right.
That was an amazing event, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a kid with a rare disease.
I do.
What's the disease?
So she was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at 6 weeks old, and it's a genetic life-limiting rare disease that affects the lungs and digestive tract. So her lungs decline steadily with age, and it's very unpredictable. So we don't quite know what the future looks like. But she's amazing. She's an absolute warrior.
How old is she now?
She's 2.5, and she's doing well.
Listen, nobody asks for this. It's a horrible thing to happen, and only the bravest people can see it through and make sure that their kids have the best possible life. But the activism, the fact that you're now an ambassador, why is this important?
It's everything, Gareth. I mean, before she came along into my life, I was I lived a very small, safe life, living in a bubble. Mm-hmm. And I was very shy, very insecure, and scared of life. And then someone comes along and rocks your world, and you think, what is she going to need?
Yeah.
She's going to need you to be her doctor, her physio, her pharmacist, her psychologist. She's going to need a lot of things, but more than anything, I know she needs an example. And that was a big one for me.
So how did you get involved with rare diseases? The fact that she's obviously got the cystic fibrosis is the reason that you would be interested in it. But did they approach you and say, we need an ambassador and you're Mrs. South Africa and this is a perfect collaboration because you'll help us to get awareness out there? And
I met them before any of the pageant stuff happened. Yeah. I met them when I was in hospital, still in ICU with her, and she was 3 weeks old. And I managed to bump into them literally in the hallway of the hospital. And it was purely by chance because so many of the support groups in South Africa are very victim-minded. Mm-hmm. It's life is so terrible. We have it so hard. And yes, it's a very depressing disease. But all you have to do is surround yourself with a couple of other people who have it so much worse. And you get a little bit of perspective and you start thinking about other people. And I think that's what I love about Rare. It's about telling your stories collectively. Individually, rare diseases are very rare, but collectively they're common. They affect over 1 in 7 people are affected by a rare disease during their lifetime.
You mean like the families and obviously all the people?
No, individually.
Who are dealing with it. You mean the actual people who have the diseases?
Yeah. I mean, I had familial malignant melanoma at 25, and that's a rare disease. I didn't know at the time, and luckily I'm one of the few that managed to overcome that. But most rare diseases, you know, don't end the same, and especially for the minorities.
All right, so what do we need to know, and how can ordinary people like me get involved in kind of making some difference on Rare Diseases Day?
Well, today is Paint Your Face Day, so I think you can start there.
No. Come on, give me something useful to
I've
do that.
I've got stickers for you guys.
Okay, I can put on a sticker.
You should be wearing jeans. It's looking good.
I'm wearing
so
jeans.
Everyone's wearing jeans.
All right.
Yeah, Gord, what do you know?
Always in shorts, yo. Always in shorts.
All right.
And then participate as a rare activist. I think go on to rarediseases.co.za. I've become a rare activist and become very passionate about it. I compete in sporting events. I'm doing 2 Oceans Marathon now for them. I'm actually climbing to base camp of Everest in April.
Look at you.
And it's going to be every breath for those that can't breathe, every step for those that can't walk.
That sounds fantastic.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you want to get involved, please go to Rare Diseases website.
What rare disease do you think Gord has?
I don't know.
Being fat in the ass is not that rare, so that doesn't count. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I feel bad now. I didn't wear jeans. I didn't know. Climbing Everest and running marathons. I didn't even wear jeans.
Let it be on your head, Gord, that all these people suffering from rare diseases.
And I couldn't even put on a pair of jeans. Yeah. I wish I'd had a heads up.
Okay, so today, what are you going to do? You're going to go around to media and create some awareness? You're going to be running an event? What are you doing?
Today's pretty exciting. We're going to be spending the morning with some pharmaceutical companies. And
is that exciting?
I'm a pharmacist. I'm a total nerd. I know.
You're a pharmacist. Yes, yes. Okay.
So
now
that's
interesting.
Why it was naturally a good fit with Rare Diseases. So we work on a lot of things together. But today we're going specifically to speak to these companies, speak to their staff, give them a little bit of the patient side as well as the healthcare provider side, get a little bit more advocacy going for Rare Diseases, because we need to be able to get patients on life-saving treatment, because it's not actually just a privilege. It's a human right. It's a basic human right. Just because something's rare doesn't mean that they shouldn't get the drugs that they deserve.
And probably because it's rare, those drugs are that much more expensive.
That's it. Right? They're expensive. They're very difficult to get access to. But it is possible if you get people on your side.
What can you do for your daughter with cystic fibrosis? I mean, is there a treatment that she can undergo? Is there any kind of any hope of a cure?
There's always hope of a cure. At this stage, it's treatment. It's every day 4 to 6 hours of physio and nebulizing to keep your lungs clear. But you know what, Gareth? That's life. I think we need to just get outside of this illusion that life is supposed to be perfect, because everyone's going to go through something.
Yeah, but I'm interested in this because you're embodying two really contradictory things here. I mean, a lot of people who look at pageants and that kind of world, they imagine that someone who's as beautiful as you are and someone who's, you know, you're happily married and you've got this kid, and if you look at it on the surface, it looks like a great life.
I know. And,
you're a pharmacist. I mean, you're smart. You're all of these things put together. And then at home, you're dealing with this disease which is eating at the heart of your family.
Well, I think that's the illusion that I'm trying to shatter, Gareth, is that it's not perfect. And it's so easy to see everything on social media and see that it looks amazing. Because social media is like a highlights reel of your life. And there's great, amazing stuff happening in my life. But life will always have its challenges. It doesn't matter who you are. And I think that authenticity is so important. That's why I want to talk about these stories.
So you're saying the reality is, like, we've all got our challenges and everybody has. I mean, I don't hear any victim mentality in you at all, which is amazing. And you mentioned that earlier, so it kind of gave it away. But when you look at your daughter and you think of what kind of a life she could have, and who knows what they might discover in the next couple of years,
correct.
Right?
But I'm also a realist.
But you're realistic about this. At the same time, you're not going to let this spoil what time you have to make a difference for yourself on the planet and for her.
Well, I've got 2 kids, you know, and what is to say that my son's life is guaranteed? We live every day as it comes.
You're right. Like, I could walk out of here and be hit by a bus. I could.
You could. And it's why we don't walk around on the streets of Joburg.
You got to look. Sometimes
they
come out of nowhere.
That rat could have.
Ben was almost killed by a rat this morning.
Got serious rats these days.
See, Ben, that's really not important in the scheme of what we're talking about.
No, Joburg's actually safe. I went to Cape Town on the weekend and got attacked in the streets. So
what?
I know.
Helen Zilla?
Telling you.
Were you carrying a bottle of water?
I actually beat him down. Hey.
What happened? You were attacked?
I was.
How did that happen? You seem so cavalier about it. This sounds horrible.
It was horrible. But I think it's just...
Were you just walking around?
You're just walking around.
Daytime, nighttime?
I was carrying my phone in my hand, which was probably not a good idea.
It's your phone.
You should be allowed to do that.
But guys, we've been saying for so long, Cape Town is rough.
Yeah.
I had no idea, right? Yeah. So I love my city. I'm quite happy here in Joburg.
Yeah.
Cape Town's the Rio de Janeiro of South Africa.
Really?
It's got a beach, it's got a mountain, it's got muggers. Those are the three prongs of...
I got mugged there lots when I lived there, which
I'm
wasn't
so
for
naive.
Long.
So what does Mrs. South Africa mean? I mean, what do you have to do there as Mrs. South Africa? You're not the mum to Miss South Africa.
Well, who knows? You never know. No, it's actually been an amazing process because I've never done a pageant before. Mm-hmm. I'm not that girl. I never have been. I was never a beauty queen girl. But it's a woman empowerment program. It's not a beauty pageant.
So Mrs. South Africa, as opposed to Miss South Africa, do you have to be married? Do you have to be over a certain age?
25 to 50.
Oh, and, okay. A 50-year-old could be Mrs. South Africa?
Yes.
Got so many comments. I'll just shush.
It's about celebrating true beauty. And that's what I'm passionate about, is what is real beauty? Beauty is health. Beauty is confidence. Beauty is strength.
Yeah, you're a good spokesperson for this. Okay, well, so do you have official? You have to cut ribbons and things like a.
I have cut ribbons before.
Do you have to like do life things goals with Mr. South Africa? Do you get the whole family together?
No, they're actually Mr. very. I have met him,
but no. I'd love to see all three of you, you know, sharing a stage.
No, listen, I don't know. I can't share a stage with Demi. She's next level. Demi.
Ah, she's very beautiful.
She's amazing.
But I mean, Mrs. South Africa.
She can have that stage all to herself.
Different responsibilities.
Yes.
All right. So if we want to find out more, where can we go?
Look up on Facebook or Instagram, Nicole Kapper, C-A-P-P-E-R, and you'll see the journey is there. You'll also go to the Rare Diseases website, rarediseases.co.za, or on Facebook, Rare Diseases. Also look up Mrs. South Africa on Instagram and Facebook, Tammy Taylor, Mrs. South Africa. And funny enough, today is actually the date of close of entries for the Tammy Taylor, Mrs. South Africa for 2018. So,
in other words,
now's your chance.
So ladies, you have to be married. Can you be divorced?
No.
Oh, remarried. Jesus. What discrimination is this? Like, so Meghan Markle's out.
And what other criteria do they look for? You said it's about empowerment and the social outreach and that kind of stuff.
And specifically
so
about...
So if you're just a complete belter, it's not enough.
Listen, it's about celebrating what's inside.
And being a complete belter.
It doesn't help. It doesn't hurt being a complete belter.
Come on, we're allowed to, right?
It definitely didn't count against you, but it's amazing. I mean...
We're allowed to include
it that. Sounds like the non-vacuous... It sounds like the substance pageant.
Yeah, it really is. And
non-vacuous.
I hope so.
What are you saying about the others?
I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm saying it sounds really amazing, the amount of stuff that you do. It really does. It doesn't. Well, it sounds like pageantry.
Nicole, I mean, Mrs. South Africa is one thing, but the stuff you're doing for Rare Diseases is obviously very important too. So thank you for coming to share that with us this morning. I'm sorry there was confusion.
Thank you.
I was looking out of the studio and trying to figure out kind of why you were here, because Sia, my producer, is not in the country at the moment. So I'm sort of trying to coordinate
stuff. I wasn't
stuff.
Just crashing the party.
No, I'm very glad. Listen, I'm thrilled you came, and it's an important day, so I'm glad we got to mark it by talking to you.
Thank you for showcasing it and shining a bit of light on Rare Disease.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Least we can do. And if you do figure out what Rare Disease Gord has, please share it with me.
I will. I'm going to look into it.
That would be very helpful.
Research.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. Nicole Kapper, everybody. Rare Diseases Day is today, and you can find out more by going onto social media and also wearing one of these stickers. You have to buy one of the stickers, right? So you can support the cause.
I've got stickers for you guys.
You've got free ones.
Yes, free. Well, I'll pay for them for
people
you guys.
You can make donations.
Yes.
You've got to wear jeans. Try to not just think about yourself the whole time, Gord Laws.
And that's not a lot to have to do, hey? Wear jeans and get a sticker to help a good cause. I don't know.
No, it's not a lot to do. It's so little to ask. Are you looking for a music podcast with a twist where you can catch the O'Neill Africa Experience on Cliff Central? It's unlocked by Castle Light. Just Six and True Verb Music astounded a live audience on Friday last week at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center, where they performed a cappella in the latest episode of the O'Neill Africa Experience. You can download the podcast today on cliffcentral.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. You can even go to our app. Don't forget that Castle Light are bringing you award-winning artist Chance the Rapper to their exhilarating Extra Cold Experiences. The concert takes place on the 30th of April at the Ticket Pro Dome. Get your tickets now from CompuTicket. You don't want to miss this. Castle Light unlocks exclusive. Time for me to wrap it up with the unnews for this morning. Let's see what we need to see. All right, first of all, the National Assembly have adopted the motion of land expropriation without compensation. The EFF are happy in theory about this, but also realize that as the ANC have done this, they really are now less relevant than ever. The Spice Girls, speaking of less relevant than ever, are going to perform again, and that performance will take place at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Everyone's happy about this, but there's a twist. Harry is going to make a cameo performance as Ginger Spice during the song Spice Up Your Life. And finally, Rassie Erasmus is set to be announced as the new Springbok coach today. Already the director of rugby at SARU, being named coach will add to his roles of CEO, MD, communications manager, sponsorship manager, team manager, and tours and hospitality manager.
And senior water boy.
That's right. SARU now actually stands for South African Rugby Union. We shall see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Coming up, a discussion with Sello Hatang of the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Stay with cliffcentral.com for brilliant stuff all the way through today.
This is cliffcentral.com.